afternoon, everyone. Thank you so much for joining me on Hashtag No Limits. Hashtag No Limits is about people who society places limits upon, but who are busting through those limits. Ophelia says in Hamlet, we know who we are, but not who we will be. And I believe that to be 100% true, and that there is no better example than the caterpillar turning into the butterfly. For those who don't know, the caterpillar literally dissolves into its cells and then reforms into the butterfly. It's still not ready to fly yet. It still has to fight to get out of the cocoon in order for its wings to be able to be strong enough to let it soar everywhere that it wants to go. While that can't be easy, neither is busting through limits that society places upon people. And today I have an interesting guest. Today, my guest is someone who, to my knowledge at least, does not have any sort of disability. And that's typically the guests that I have. But we may find out in our conversation that he did and I didn't know it. But I'm not going to tell you his story just yet. I'm going to introduce him to you and I'm going to let him tell you his story. So, Stephen, thank you so much for joining me on Hashtag No Limits and welcome. How are you doing today?
I could be better or could be worse, as my grandpa used to say. I'm right in the middle because, you know, could be better means that I have hope for the future, and could be worse tells you you should be okay being, you know, that you are where you are, and, you know, could be a lot worse.
Right. Absolutely. I think that's a good sentiment. And so for anyone who is joining me for the first time, or for those who haven't joined in a while, please make sure to let us know in the comments that you're watching Hashtag Live or Hashtag Replay, and then where you're from. And if you do happen to have any comments or questions for Stephen or myself during our conversation, also pop those into the chat and I will be able to show those up on the screen and hopefully get an answer to the question if that's what you share with us. Make sure that you subscribe so you don't miss an episode of Hashtag No Limits or any other time that I go live. And I think that's all the business side of things. So let's get back to my guest, Stephen. So Stephen, tell us about yourself.
I'm 62 years old. Long, it would take forever to talk about my whole life, but like 4.5, 5 years ago, where I ended up at the moment, was in a shelter for the second time. The first time I didn't really get it, I guess. I was blaming everybody else, said myself. And right off the bat, I do want to, before I continue, I want to share that I do have bipolar challenges. So, I don't like to call them anything but challenges. To me, a challenge is something that we can overcome or handle. Some illnesses, issues, and other things, you know, people deem them like, you know, sometimes that's where they're at. So, anyway, so back to the stories. I was homeless for the second time. I sat on my bed for the second day and I said, I can't live this way. And, you know, all things created, I was a unstructured, unprepared, lived life day to day, moment to moment. However, on the other side of my boat, I was a certified career specialist, or I am still, and a RAP facilitator, as a wellness recovery action plan facilitator. Got my training through Mental Health Association and NAMI and other places. And then so I was able to help other people become more structured and, you know, plan stuff and think ahead, but it wasn't like my idea for myself. So second time I was there in the shelter on that day, I decided, well, now, you know, I need to figure out, well, what makes the people in the business world, the sports and entertainment world, all successful. And they had a plan. So they, well, like Twix moment. Yeah. You know, need a plan, Steve. You want to be successful from this point on. And I wasted 60 something years and haven't really done much, you know, helped others. And one time I was in a therapy class and the therapist, you know, the first time around was with her and I was working on all the other people. And then I left and I came back, wound up going back to the same facility and the same therapist was there. And she said, before you even come in the door, you know, you're here for yourself, right? So like, you know, this time focus on you, not everyone else. And I said, okay. So I started my bowl in the right direction. I ended up being a certified marriage specialist, rep facilitator. My life started on the way up and then my mom died in 2012, and that threw me for a loop, and my life went right back to a crash. And I ended up, you know, long story short, making a lot of poor, bad decisions, bad actions based on those bad emotional decision making, which wound me up in the shelters a few times. And so I decided to create my own strategy, my own plan to deal with the two things that I thought were most important in life. You know, one, to tackle the potential negative situations that one could occur or might happen. And if you're prepared for them, then they may not be as impactful or maybe able to eliminate it if you're already prepared. Like, for instance, if you're in a car or driving a car, you get in one spot and you go out to get in the car to go home and it's not working, you can't move it. Do you say, what do I do now? Or do you say, okay, I know what to do. The moon, dial numbers, and whatever you got to do. That's the difference between emotional decision-making, which could temporarily help you, but in the long run cost you money and problems all the way down the line, or being prepared. And so you have an idea where you're going and everything's set. And so is it still negative? Sort of, but it's not as bad as it could have been and leaves you with a positive ending because you're like, okay, I know where I'm going. I don't have to panic. You know, and there's various things in various lives, houses that could lose power. People could lose their jobs. Kids might have to be home from school. There's 20 different areas in people's lives that that you could look into and say, okay, if this were to occur in this area, am I prepared? And then the other part of my strategy also for what I wanted to do was to be successful. So, you know, the question became, well, how do I do that? Well, now with my strategy, it's because, okay, I know what I'm going to do. You know, I find out what I want to do and then who I can figure out who I want to take it. So if you're going to make a meatloaf and you're on your way out the door and you want to make a meatloaf, you have to figure out what kind of meatloaf you want because everybody makes things differently. So that's the perception. You look at the meatloaf, how do I want it? Then you got to go and plan what do you need for the ingredients and where are you going to get it? Then you prepare by going and getting the ingredients and bringing it home. And then you proceed by making the dinner and eating it. Now, just one thing you have to understand that not everybody goes to the preceding part. They get up, they go to the pool, they're all ready to go swimming, they put their toe in the water, and then they're like, too cold. Yeah. Or they go to a job interview thinking the job is one thing, and then when they find out what the job really is, no thanks. I think I'll. So you can do all the work, the proceeding, the preparing, and still back out, and that's okay because, you know, deal breakers are deal breakers. You know, it's like, okay, you get to a deal breaker, whether it's relationships or whether it's business or whatever it is in life, what you want to eat, what you don't eat. You know, there's deal breakers in life. So there's negotiation, compromise, and open communication, and there's deal breakers and everything, relationships and all that. Anyway, that's where I was at. So and 4.5 years later, I have a house. I have 16 cats in my home that were formerly homeless, 9 females, 7 males. All taken care of, you know, neutered, spayed, all living in my house, and they go in and out when they want to. So I was homeless. I started with one cat. I ended up with 16. I have more out there at feed, but they don't come in to stay. And so, you know, and so in 23, I decided, oh, I want to get a business going. So I don't have any business background. Let me form the business and learn all about business in 23. And then in 24, I will start the business using the strategy that I have, which I believe will help everyone out there, because I believe everybody has the need to learn about potential negative stuff they can avoid, especially children. They need to learn what's going out there, how they can avoid all these things, maybe make things a little bit better, and who they can trust and not trust. And then, you know, and also the positive. Well, where do you want to go? I mean, the worst thing I hate is when people hate. That hates a strong word. You know, I'm saddened by is when people ask children, what do you want to be when you're 5, 6, they're old, and they don't even have an idea where they're going. 8, 9, 10, they still don't know where they're going. Teenagers, and they're, you know, don't even know where they're heading or what they're doing. I mean, that's because there's a lack of people out there who are trying to help them see what their options are. You know, and I think that's something that people need to do. The old adage of what they don't know won't hurt them is totally wrong these days. What they don't know will hurt them. And it's people, parents, friends, whoever need to sit down with the children and literally go into the space world, internet, whatever you want to call it, and show them, not just share this is what could happen. This is what the situation is. So they get as much knowledge as possible. So when people come up to them an offer or ask or whatever a situation is, they can hear in their head, oh, we went over this. they're prepared. They might still make the wrong choice in your eyes. They might still do what they feel is right for them, but at least they got the information. And that's where a lot of, you know, young people aren't getting that much option. And so they just choose emotionally based on what someone else fills their head with. And they say, okay, that sounds good to me. And I'm going to stop there because I can ramble. So any questions that you want to show, I will answer any questions anybody out there wants to have, or if Shelley has any questions for me.
Yeah, so that was a lot of information. And there's a few things in there that I would like to circle back to. So you mentioned RAP, and then you described what RAP is. You also mentioned NAMI. And NAMI was an organization that I wasn't really aware of until about 3 weeks ago. And so I would like, if you could, to share a little bit about what that organization is, what it does, how it helps.
National Alliance Mental Illness. I don't really care for the illness part, but it is what it is. Anyway, I got involved with that back when I was a certified peer specialist. I got on board. There was another member of my certified peer specialist community that was on the board of NAMI. And they have programs that are really good programs. They help train both parents, and they have mental health challenges, I call them. And they also help. We have a support group that NAMI has, a support group. Now, I was in Bucks County, NAMI in Bucks County. I'm not a part of, or haven't been a part of the Philadelphia NAMI. So I don't know how or if there's a difference between the two, but we used to go to Philadelphia to have NAMI meetings, and people would show up there. So, but NAMI in Bucks County, and I think other areas in NAMI, they have support groups for both, parents of challenges, children who have challenges, and they have support groups for people who have mental health challenges and addiction challenges. And then they also were one of the first ones in Bucks County. My hat is just not working today, guys. So Anyway, so NAMI is one of the first ones who were able to install police officers for being able to understand and handle mental health challenges and, and trauma, abused people, individuals. So they were more wiser. So you can call in, when they have situations that they believe someone who is under influence or having challenges of any kind, they have specialized police who can come in and help instead of people who have no idea what they're doing and maybe causing more of a problem than they could. I don't know if it's filtered down into Philadelphia or other areas of the state, but I do know that people are looking into that. But NAMI was an organization that started that in Bucks County, and they're a very influential organization that if you don't know about them, you look them up and learn about them because they're very worthwhile to do.
Yeah, it sounds like it. And the information that I learned about them recently, I was very impressed by the services that they offer. And unfortunately, addiction and abuse of substances is often connected with mental health issues. And so it makes sense that they would have those kinds of services. So
much like cigarettes and coffee.
I'm sorry?
Much like cigarettes and coffee. A lot of people drink coffee, smoke cigarettes, and vice versa. Mental health, and then one challenge for another.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely. That's a good point. Something that you mentioned, and if you are not comfortable talking about how you became homeless, I completely understand. But if you are willing to talk about how you became homeless either the first or the second time, I would appreciate hearing that.
Well, both times are based on poor decision-making, emotional situations that I got into. A lot of things go into becoming homeless. It's not like one thing, kicked out of your home by your parents first time around because we just don't see eye to eye. You become homeless on that end of it. But I was homeless more than once, but true homelessness isn't like living in your car or, having someone like living in a shelter is not really true homelessness, but, being on the street with no money and no food stamps, and which I had both, So I didn't have the full experience, but I learned about it. You know, nothing like being homeless to learn about what really homeless is. But anyway, going back to my story is that I made poor decisions with a lot of people. My addictions, I have challenges. I have more than one, you know, have cost me plenty financially. Stress levels were always high. And, you know, when you're a person who literally likes to do things on the spur of the moment and your emotionally decision-making is poor, the two don't add up, you know, wine and water, vinegar and water. I mean, you know, so I just made a lot of poor decisions. I gave into my addiction issues plenty of times instead of working on them. There was a lot of different things, not listening to other people. I don't want to be controlled. Many different issues. Wound up in jail at one point, and you know, coming out of jail, they didn't have really anything for you. They just put you on the street, have a nice day, find a shelter, see where you got to go. And bad decision making. That's the main thing. Bad decision making, emotional decision making, and not learning. You know, I mean, I just went about my business. As if, you know, bills came in. My idea back when I was in my 20s and 30s was like, you know, when bills come in, hey, you know, don't send another one. If I have the money to pay for it then, I'll worry about it. If not, I'll just put that in the trash and wait for the next one. So, I mean, so irresponsible, unstructured, which, by the way, I've changed myself into. You know, when I was a kid, I literally changed my laugh for anybody who's old enough to know who Welcome Back Carter Show was and Arnold Horseshack. I used to laugh. And I literally practiced to laugh differently. And I literally thanked Larry Bower because he was a switch hitter. And I decided that my right hand, which now is injured, you know, would may be a problem if I don't use my left hand. So I trained my left hand that I could do almost everything, not as good, but almost anything sufficient enough with my left hand so that if and when my right hand got hurt, you know, I can still function to, you know, to get around and do stuff. So I did all that. So I figured, hey, if I can train myself to do those things, I could pretty much switch my gears from being an organized, unstructured individual who did things on the fly to someone who can plan. And anyway, when you're homeless and you got to get out of the shelter at 8 o'clock in the morning, whatever weather it is, whether it's COVID or not, I mean, you're out there and you have to figure out where you got to go to do all kinds of different things, eat, sleep, whatever. If you can think about it, you can figure that out. I mean, there's stuff you have to figure out what you got to do for the whole day, every day, temperature-wise, everything. So you become a strategic person if you want to survive. And so, you know, when, you know, people say, oh, homeless people, they can do what they want to do. I mean, no, they can't, but they learn. That's why some people don't even go in. When I was a bus driver for SEPTA, I used to ask the homeless people, why don't you go into shelter? You know, why don't you go into other places? Because they're comfortable. They've made themselves know where they're at. They know all their routines. They know what they're doing. They go into a shelter. Now they got to go into someone else's rules, learn something else. And then if they don't make it, they got to go and start all over again. And some people just aren't willing to start all over again. I, you know, wanted to start all over again. So, you know, there are people that visit the shelters all the time, sadly enough. You know, they're in, they're out, they're in, they're out. I'm like, I need something more. I'm 60 years old. And my last 20 years or so, whatever it is, to be impactful. And since I made it, you know, and I'm successful at the moment, still working on myself, though. You know, still have lots of areas that I'm working on. But, I mean, I got this far. I'm like, let me share that, you know, and help other people because I want, you know, I want my lasting impression of myself not to be the homeless guy who, like, my family members would call trouble. You know, look out. Here comes Uncle Steve. Here comes Steve. You know, my parents were disappointed in me before they died. I do not want the world to be disappointed in me. God put me on this earth for a reason, not just to survive, not just to exist. You know, so now I think I have a purpose.
Thank you for sharing that. I know that that probably wasn't easy for you to do. So I appreciate your willingness to share that with all of us. And I would like you now to talk about the steps that you took, which are, if I'm understanding everything correctly, the steps that you're now teaching to come out of the situation that you were in, or not necessarily that people have to be in that situation. These steps will apply in lots of different areas.
Right. Yeah. It's quite simple. I didn't want anything complicated because I'm not a complicated individual. Well, I am a complicated individual, but I don't like to think of, I don't like to deal with complicated stuff. other people can have complicated. So I agree with that. But anyway, so steps are simple. Here's the steps. Are you ready? Get ready. First step is your thought. So, for instance, let's take the meatloaf. You know, I'm hungry. That's the thought. The next step is perception. Oh, I'm sorry. I forgot. The if question. Okay, you're hungry. Well, if I could have what I wanted to eat, what would it be? The if question is the most important question to start forward once the thought hits your head. So if I want a meatloaf, you know, or what do I want to eat? I want a meatloaf. Okay, so you figured out you want a meatloaf. So if you want a job, what kind of job do you want? You want a destination, where you're heading. If you don't want something to happen, like, you know, if we leave here, I don't want to come back and have our house. Like, what are we going to do if the house is, you know, or if the car breaks down? Those are things that you all, that's the thought, that's the perception, that's what you don't want. Okay, well, how do you go about it? You do the four P's. Perceive the situation. Like sports players, they perceive what their actions are going to be, how it's going to end up. So they already look ahead. Business people do the same thing. They look down the line, 10, 15, 20 years. They're not looking at just today. They want to know what the big picture is, how are they going to get there. So you figure out what you want, and then you figure out what you need, then you figure out how you're going to get it, and then you work your way back. Boom, 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 boom. So I need to go to a restaurant or a certain store to get a certain thing, and then once you get the things, that, well, how are you getting to the store? You know? So, for instance, you know, if you were to lose power in your house, whether it's electricity or water or whatever it might be, and you have to leave your house, are you prepared for all the things that are out there? If you have children, especially, like, you know, where are they going to go? How are they going to get back and forth to school? How are you going to get back and forth to work? Who's going to watch the kids if you can't find a way to get to school right away? How long is it going to take for the house to get done? You have the money for repairs. Who's going to fix the repairs? All these little things and many more, they go inside that area. But if you're thinking about it and you're planning it, if that thing happens, then it becomes like a fire drill that the schools do with the kids every day or every other day, whatever they do. They automatically know the kids are so ingrained in what to do and they head there. They ain't got time to go run around all schools, look to see if every kid's out there. They trust in the practice and in the situation that when it happens, if it happens, the kids will be where they need to be. They're going to where they need to be. Same thing in life. If you practice preparing and looking ahead as you're going down the stairs, what it comes, the car taken care of, you have enough gas, in, you're coming home from work, you know, is the car good? Do I need a repair? Is the light come on? Don't put it off till tomorrow, because tomorrow may be more difficult than it is today. So if you teach the youngsters the same thing, every day when you're going to school, are you prepared for your classes? Are you prepared for what's going on in school? Are you thinking about the potential of people coming up to you with drugs or with pressure of, you know, doing this or cheating on a test or maybe relationship issues? You know, prepare them ahead of time. Then if they have all the information ahead and know what to do, then they have more of an idea of how to get what they want and what they don't want. They come home to you and say, hey, mom, you know, how do I get? Well, okay, there's the thought. How do we get it? Let's work together. Don't go, well, go figure it out. Look on the computer. Let me know what you got. So we got to do things together in life. We're too busy doing things as individuals. Let's work together.
Awesome.
Oh, so the four P's were, I'm sorry. I forgot that. So you have to think of the thought. Then you go with the if question. And then the four P's are, are perceive, prepare, plan, and proceed. In that order. It's like, you know, first you perceive the situation and what you want, and you plan what you got to get and where you're going to go, and you prepare, go get the stuff, you know, and then you proceed to get it done. Whether it's avoiding a negative or going for a positive, those are the steps. That's what got me from out of a shelter into a home, 16 cats and a business at 62 years old. By the way, no age is too old to start over.
That's true. It's very true. We can, and that's the concept of the hashtag no limits is, yes, you know, we're a certain way at this age, but that doesn't mean that we have to stay that way. I know that caterpillars only do it once, but we can constantly be changing ourselves into better versions of ourselves. No matter how great we are, there's an area of our life that we could still get better in. And that area is different for every single person on the planet. And how great a person is different for every single person on the planet. You have some people who are very technologically great, and yet maybe they're not so great at, I don't know, interpersonal skills. And then you have other people who might be really great at interpersonal skills, but aren't so great in the technology. So we always have, there's so many things that are part of life. We always can be improving and learning new things. And even if it's not a school subject or that you go to a textbook to learn, you can just learn how to better understand people, better appreciate differences in people, better understand yourself and, you know, how you as a person think and process and perceive and proceed and figure out what areas do I need to work on and build up a little bit more. And so I really like those, the four P's: perceive, prepare, plan, and proceed, because it is. I think that's very, very much what we all should be doing. So what advice would you give to someone who finds themselves homeless? Like what was the thing that you had to do first? Can you remember the thing, or was there a thing, or was it a multitude of things?
No. Yeah. First thing you have to do is look at yourself. I mean, what got you there? Not everybody out there, not other people's decision making. What got you there? Because just like any relationship, if you start a relationship, it takes more than one person. You end a relationship, it takes more than one person. And that means you're one of the people. Like, so, like, you know, did you lose your job? Yeah. Well, how did you lose your job? Why did you lose your job? And did you, something happened in your relationship and people kicked you out of the home? Well, why? I mean, you can't say it's all their fault. No. I mean, like, even in a marriage, if someone cheats on you, why did they cheat on you? Because they didn't get into the marriage thinking, I'm going to cheat on you. So, like, you know, so, I mean, it's not totally everybody's fault, but it is partially everybody's fault. Because, you know, the signs are always there for whatever you're doing. So I had to look at myself. Okay, like the first time I didn't look at myself. I blamed society. I blamed other people. When I got there the second time, I was like, yeah, okay. It can't be everybody. I'm here again. And, you know, I was in a different situation when I got out. I mean, the whole life was different, and I still wound up back here. And it's basically, you have to look at yourself. That's number one. Then once you look at yourself, there's the plan. Okay, so I'm the problem. How do I fix the problem? What do I got to do? Okay, well, what do you want to do? You know, what do you want to do when you are in that situation of being homeless? What do you want to do when you get kicked out of whoever you're at and you're about to be homeless? When you get that 30-day notice or someone says you're about to be evicted? You don't wait till it happens. Okay, what do you want to do? That's the question. Once you ask that question, if you could do what you want to do, what is it? And then once you figure out what that is, that's the starting point. How do you get there? Well, be a realistic too. I mean, if I'm 5'11", you want to be 7 foot, early middle age, probably not going to happen. You know what I mean? So, realism, you know, I'm not talking about, oh, I want to make $1 million. I mean, that's possible. Well, how are you going to make $1 million? I mean, you can, I'm not going to say you can't. People have done it, but then you need to have a plan. How do you want to make $1 million? Is it reasonable, rational, you know, literally possible at this point in time in your life? Or you need to put that aside and strive to move your way up towards a goal. You might not be able to fly in a rocket to the moon, but you might be able to work your way towards building a rocket if that's what you're interested in.
Right. So what were the steps for you to plan to be in your own home? Can you walk us through how that happened? And, you know, just because I'm thinking somebody out there is going, oh, yeah, it's easy. You know, he just says, oh, you just plan it. But can you give into the steps?
Yeah, it's not. Nothing's easy. You have to work. I mean, that's the problem with society. A lot of things. People want the quick pill or the quick. It's not easy. When you become successful, nothing is given to you unless you're, you know, born into it. And even then, probably not going to be easy. So, like, you know, I mean, so yeah, it takes planning, but you have to work. But, you know, I got lucky in a fashion that we ended up in a hotel, you know, because they wanted to protect us for being COVID, you know, being older, we were protected for not being out there in the world to be, get COVID and have maybe more problems. So we got a chance from the shelter to go to a, some of us, you know, got older, older citizens, got a chance to go to a hotel. And in that hotel, you know, there was, they had people who were planning for where you were going. There were people actually were thinking ahead and going, okay, when these guys are done, you know, what are they doing? Going back to the shelter? So they gave us options. You know, what do you want to do? You want to know, where do you want to go? What do you want to do? And that's the key to support, by the way, is that, you know, having other people who care about where you're going and help you decide what you're doing. I mean, I can't remember how grateful I was or how happy I was in the light when I went to a mental health facility because I was a certified career specialist. And my job with Magellan Health Services was to go into hospitals and talk to people who were in for suicide stuff and then were on the way out. So I would talk to them ahead of time. And then one person said, I'll see you in a little while. And I said, what do you mean you see me in a while? Well, that's what I do. I go in, I go out, I go in. Well, I said, it doesn't have to be that way. And his eyes went up like, what do you mean? Well, you know, it's the way it always is. Just because it always is doesn't mean it has to be that way. Why are you going back to the same place that sends you here? Well, because no one's helping me do anything else. Well, let's see if we can do something about it. Well, if you want to go somewhere, where would you like to go? And then he gave me a word and we worked on it and sure enough, boom. And that's the way it's got to be. You find people. Like, I didn't do this on my own. I had support along the way. There was a nice person in the shelter who was willing to help us and then gave us the opportunity to go to the hotel room. If she didn't give us the opportunity to go to the hotel room, I may not have been here. You know what I mean? So, you know, and there was a guy who came out of, you know, when I came out of jail who helped me, you know, figure out where, what shelter to go to, but he knew the person that was in there. So his decision, her decision left me in the hotel. Then, of course, the option was they gave us an option. So you have to choose. You have to sit there and wait for someone to do the job. No, they'll pick for me. You know, no, you have to make a decision. So that's when the process of going out and learning, you have to want to learn. You know, you have to want to change. The old adage that people change only if you can't change if you're, for someone else. No matter what you're trying to do, you're not changing for other people. I don't care how much pressure they put on you. You might change for a little bit to get you through a certain situation. But if you haven't changed in here and in your in here, then for yourself, it's not worth it because it's not going to happen. You go around and wind up right back. I didn't change the first time around. I wound up back the second time. I changed the second time. Here I am. You know, you have to want to change. You have to find people that will help you change. You have to work at it. It's not a simple thing of taking a, one person's not going to do it for you. You know, like when when light goes on at the end of the tunnel is still dark. You know, so I help people find people and turn the light on. So you still have to do the work. And just because I give you people or someone else shows up, like Shelly, you know, with her organization herself, they might offer, they may have it out there. You still have to choose to participate. You know, if you're just sitting at home and you're sitting there waiting for someone to save you, other than God, that's the human beings are going to have to, you have to work with them. And, you know, I want to say this one before we quit. One thing I want to say for the world, children, adults, everyone in between, one of the things I found out was really great is like on buses, on trolleys, if you have trolleys and buses, wherever you're at, like they're the only place in America where we will get along for the most part to get to our destination. No one's out there asking what you did or what you were or who you are. They don't care what color, what clothes you wear. If you don't smell too good, they might care a little bit. But I'm saying for the most part, I mean, every now and then you find somebody, but most of the time we get along from point A to point B to whoever needs to get off at whatever destination they're at. So my question to America, why can't we do that with ourselves in real life? You know, why we got to worry about who is what color, what nationality, what they did or didn't do? I mean, we're human beings. Can we get along to the destination point that we're looking to get to and then move on? You know, that's all. I mean, unless they're literally changing your destination and interrupting the process of your life, then you have to care. But if it's not, if it's really not important, then don't make it important. Because, you know, move on. It's like on a bus. Do your time, get to your spot, move on. Don't, like, be nosy, don't care about what other people are saying or doing. If it doesn't affect you or your family, you know, directly, then hey, who cares? Move on. Because that's the way we're going to get along in life. That's the way we're going to do. Oh, by the way, the four P's equal PPP positivity. My company's name is Positive Action Infusion Lifestyle. You cannot have a positive lifestyle unless you have an infused action consistently to get there. And you need more than just yourself to do it.
And I'm glad that you brought that in, because that was where I was wanting to take the conversation next, because now that you and I are connected in emails, I've been getting positive emails from you. And so I wanted to make sure to bring that out so that if anyone else is interested, you know, like, where do they find you? Where do they get these positive moments from you? How do they find you online or in social media?
Most of my emails and my texts, I send out my positive stuff. So email address is Pails, which is the name of my company, PAILS.BrighterFuture, BRIGHTERFUTURE @gmail.com. So that's brighter, that's Pails.BrighterFuture@gmail.com. Obviously all positive things. And then my phone number, because I don't care, it's my business phone number as well as me. So it's 215-495-8930. Be prepared, though, if you are wanting to be on the positive sending of my emails and my little signs and things that I send out, and you don't want to be on a link with other people, that's fine. I can do things individually. I sometimes spend all morning individually because a lot of people don't like linking people together. However, if you don't mind being a part of a link, let me know. I'll put you in a link. Emails, I don't do that. Only the texting people I put on links. Emails, if you want something on email, it's all individual. So just let me know. But I love to send out positive. I'm about positivity because I believe, first of all, negative lives without anything. Even God had to turn on the light. If you believe, you know what I mean? So yeah, negative and darkness live without any issue. If you want positive stuff, you have to do something. You have to work, switch to switch. You have to send it out. But like negative stuff, the more you use it, the more it becomes infectious to other people. So if one person once asked me how they could change the world, I said to them, every day people change the world when they meet someone. He said, what do you mean? I said, because they're on a journey and you're on a journey. If you're on a positive journey and on a negative journey and they meet you, and you overwhelm them with your positivity, now they're going to leave going, wow, it was great meeting Steve. But if you're on a negative side and they're on a positive side, you overwhelm them with your negativity, long conversations about the same thing over and over again without ever doing anything about it, just a hint. You know, I mean, you're going to wind up walking away going, wow, I don't know why I picked up the phone or why I met this person. I mean, so spread the positivity. Here's my motto for every day for everyone. It is my personal motto, and I believe it every day. Are you ready? Here it is.
I'm ready.
Write it down. It is, every day as a whole doesn't have to be positive. However, every day will have something positive in it if you're looking for it. And I suggest, like I do, is you write down every day that you find something positive so that by the end of the week, you can look over all that week and see all the positive, even if the week as a whole was a, you know what? I mean, you still have 5 days, 6 days, 7 days. I do my looking on Sundays. You know, and that makes you go, oh, next week, and say, oh my God, it's another week. No, oh my God, I can't wait to see what's going to come up next week. Or, and then you take it even further. You write it down every week, then it's every week. Then at the end of every month, you're looking over the month. Then at the end of the year, instead of New Year's celebrating, oh my God, looking forward to New Year. Not really. But you can say, yeah, look at all the things I learned. And I, you know, got positive over the year. Was it year a total great year? Maybe not, but I got so many positives that, you know, hopefully I'm one of them, you know, that you can look forward to in the new year. So, like, remember, every day doesn't have to be positive, but there is something positive if you're looking for it. If you're not looking for it, everybody's going to find negative all they want. You can find out no problem. Finding the positive can be challenging, and that can be just getting out of bed for the first time in a while. Oh, I didn't want to get out of bed. I got out of bed. You know, I'm like, okay. I had a woman, real quick, because I know we're in. I had a woman in one of our nominee support groups who came to the support group. And the first thing she said was, I feel like a failure today. I didn't accomplish anything. And I said to her, you didn't accomplish anything? I said, no, I didn't do nothing. No. I said, let's go over that. I said, did you get out of bed? Yeah. I said, most depressed people don't even want to get out of bed. Did you get a shower? Yeah. A whole lot of people don't want to get a shower. I see you got a new dress. Yeah. You got makeup on? Yeah. Not people who did nothing wouldn't have done that. You got here, right? Yeah, that's it. And then you spoke up and you said, now, do you really think you accomplished something? Well, I didn't see it that way. And that's the point. Like, there's an apple in the middle of a table. You put five people around it. You have a shade closed on a window on one side, open on the other side. One part of the apple is rotten. The other part looks great. You have five people around the table. You ask each one to describe the apple as they see them. They're going to see it differently. But if you don't move around, you're not going to see what they see. If you just stay there and say, no, it's this, then you're being stubborn and you're not looking at the whole picture. So if there's a situation, look at all sides, their side, your side, someone else's side, get a different perspective if you need to, and make your decisions based on all things, not one thing. That's why people who are judgmental don't see the whole big picture. They only look at it from one view. Anyway, I think I've pretty much shared a lot there.
You did. And we're fine. We're fine on time. So while you were talking, I did share your YouTube channel here. And then I did share your email here.
And by the way, on my YouTube channel, I am doing a word of the day, word of the week, whatever it is. And I throw a little twist on it. Like, struggling, most people wouldn't think is a positive word. However, it is a positive word. If you go to my YouTube channel, look for struggle, you will see why. So.
Well, absolutely. As I mentioned at the beginning, the caterpillar has to struggle to become a butterfly, and then the butterfly has to struggle in order to get out of the cocoon. And struggle is one of those things that it can go either way. We can use it. And I loved what you said about it's our choice.
Yeah, the important information about that caterpillar is not only do they have to struggle, it's mandatory that they struggle because that's what builds their wings to be strong enough so they can fly. If they didn't struggle and it just has to walk out the door, their wings will never be strong enough for them to go. So there's a purpose behind struggling, not just that you have to struggle. Like, oh, I have to struggle? Well, yeah, this Mr. Miyagi on Karate Kid, to be ever beginning, made the kid do all kinds of things and he didn't think was anything that was related to what he was supposed to be doing. And in the long run, it helped him become a better person.
Yep. Exactly. Yeah, but you just dated yourself there with talking about the original. Well, but I guess there's the newer version of the Karate Kid that has the same
thing. How much dating did I make? Nobody can guess how old I am.
That's true.
I told someone the other day that I dye my hair gray. I'm really 26. So that I want people to think I'm more, wisdom.
Yeah, there you go.
Most people dye their hair gray. Most people dye their hair darker. Oh, my God. Right. I want to be older and wiser. nobody was suspecting me as being younger and not so wise.
Right. Yeah. Well, I so appreciate you and everything that you are doing and that the positivity that you bring to this world today, because there is so much negative out there. And it really is, the thing you said about if you look for the positives, you'll find the positives. If you look for the negatives, you'll find the negatives. And that's all behavior. If you look, whatever you pay the most attention to is that's the thing you're going to see more of. And there's the perfect example. If people listening right now are thinking, oh yeah, find the positives, you'll see more positives. Here's the example that I have for you. When you get something new, for example, say you have a different car, new car, brand new, whether it was used or not, but it's new to you. And you think, oh, I've got such a unique car now. Well, suddenly you start seeing that color or that style of car all over the place. That's okay.
Someone blew my yard backyard. I don't know.
Oh, but you'll start seeing, because now my brain is paying attention. My brain is, I have told my brain that this is important. And so my brain starts to look more for that thing. So if you look for the positives, if you train your brain to go, okay, like you said, this was a bad, maybe this was an overall bad day, but there were positives in the day. I got up this morning. I had food on my table. I was able to walk out of the shelter. Even if you don't have food on your table or you don't have a table to have food on, you could still have some positives in there. I can walk, I can breathe, I can eat on my own. There's lots of things to be thankful for and to look for, even in a very rough, very horrible situation. And so I'm so glad that you brought that out. And since you do have all that noise going on, I want to go ahead and wrap up so that you're not trying to fight that noise. But
not me. I just worried about the people out there who hear it. I mean, I wasn't expecting anybody to be cutting grass in the backyard at my door open. And then if I run out to close the door, if I hear that, I'm good. So whatever.
Right.
I do want to leave people with one other thing, is that I had a friend, named Crystal, another certified parent specialist, and she used to always say at the end of any gathering that she was at, to stay positive. And I used to think when I was sitting in the shelter, I used to think, stay positive. I know about, you can be positive to a certain, how do you stay positive? So I realized that in order to stay positive, you have to share positivity. My mission, and for everyone else's mission, every single day when you get up and before you go to bed, make sure you listen to something positive or do something positive. When you get up, here's the thing you remember, and I put it on a lot of people's things, is that be positive, stay positive, and then most importantly, share positivity. Because I found a couple of times in my life when I wasn't doing that, I became not so nice of an individual. And then when I started to do it again, oh my God, I start feeling so much better. And so when in doubt, positivity out. That's what I'm saying.
There you go. That sounds perfect. Well, Stephen, again, thank you so much for being with me today and for being a bright spot in the world and for sharing positivity to anyone and everyone that you encounter. And for those who joined us today, thank you very much. We didn't have any commenters, but that's okay. I know we did have people joining us. And I so appreciate those of you who did. Make sure that you share this with somebody who needs to learn about positivity and needs to, sometimes it just takes hearing it from somebody else. If you've been telling them this for any amount of time and it hasn't changed them, sometimes hearing it from someone other than a family member or somebody they've been hearing it from is the thing that they need to change into having that better understanding of, it is my choice. I do have an option here. We can't control what happens to us. We can control how we respond and react to what happens to us. So on that note, everybody, thank you so much. Have a great week, and we will see you next time.
Hey, parents and teachers, are you tired of IEP meetings that feel like a battle? Let's put an end to the tension and create a collaborative, calm, and respectful environment together. Shelly Kino, your go-to IEP consultant, can transform your meetings into positive and productive experiences. With Shelly Kino, your child is her top priority, your voice is heard, and you become confident. Shelly Kino is making the world better for all, one IEP at a time. Visit www.shellykino.com for more information and set up your free 20-minute consultation today. That's shellykino.com, S-H-E-L-L-E-Y-K-E-N-O-W.